Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 4. And as you all are getting there, again, I just want to welcome every person who has joined us today. I had a chance to check out our online campuses. And I am so proud of you all for tuning in today and being a part. So hello, welcome. Hey to my baby mama at the house today. I was so sad leaving her this morning as I was coming here. She's going to be online for the next couple weeks just to allow these numbers to kind of subside, because they're, you know, Gabe is our protector. He's our older brother. And he's like, all right, Pastor, listen, I need you to not hug people. And so I think I can not hug, but I know my wife can't not hug. So we're going to keep her at the house until she can hug again, and she'll be back. Another cool moment on just our holiday. Anybody else's holiday was a little different this year? Yeah, maybe yours at home. My holiday was extremely different. It was just my wife and I. It was just us two. And I think part of it is we're enjoying these last few moments where it's just us. We actually enjoy us, and you know, so there's a level of grief of, oh boy, we're not gonna be able to just get up and go like we used to. So accepting applications for babysitters right now. We'll run you through a nice credit check and criminal history report, and you know, we'll go from there. But on when the clock turned midnight, I went to, you know, give Ash a kiss, and I put my hand on her stomach, and I felt like two pat pat. And I was like, did you just move your stomach? And she was like, no. And so I was like, oh, so I guess my son is saying he got him a woman. I need to go find me one. So that was a special moment, and just a testament of God's grace. Amen. I'm going to start a series for the month of January entitled Focus, Doing Less, Doing More with Less. Focus. Doing more with less. And I have found this unique pattern where whenever we're teaching a particular topic, the Lord decides to give me an illustrated sermon to display what he's trying to communicate to our community. And so we were having some fun in our core team meeting before service started, and I said that, you know, the series is doing more with less, and today we're having service with a skeleton crew in person. But I want to tell y'all, worship was just as powerful as if we had a full band. We were joking and saying, Lord, you need to have abundance, so many people you can't count them. Amen. But that wasn't his direction. But focus, doing more with less. And in Zechariah chapter 4, we'll pick up in verse 8, and before I begin reading that, I want you to be able to see yourself in the text today. The people in Zechariah, before we start reading, they were facing a rebuild of their temple and their city. So in essence, their life, their culture, their social standing, all was in need of a rebuild. And the chosen people to undertake the rebuild, they felt small, they felt powerless, and they felt overwhelmed. Has anyone in the last 24 months felt small, felt powerless, and felt overwhelmed? By show of hands, and let me know in the comments. So we have found ourselves in the text. We have found a group of people who their life was completely upended. The prospect of rebuilding had been stopped over and over again. On top of feeling small, powerless, and overwhelmed, they dealt with opposition that happened on the outside, so things that they couldn't control, they faced opposition. But here's the other kicker. They faced opposition within as well. And I don't know about you all, but we can expect things outside of our control to kind of go awry, but haven't you all seen in the last few months that when those closest to you switch up? Okay, maybe I'm just talking to myself this morning. That's all right. I guess maybe online y'all may have felt that. But there is a moment in our life where we're trying to do everything that we know to do, and now we have these unexpected setbacks from the most unexpected places, because the enemy knows the person, the place to get you are the places that you're most vulnerable. So now they're in this position where they're having to rebuild their life. They don't feel like themselves, and they're having a hard time trusting those closest to them. One of the biggest things that they were being attacked with is people were questioning their loyalty. What are you really about? People were saying that what you're trying to do is impossible. Anybody ever receive a real word from the Lord and you had a plan immediately on how to do what he said you were supposed to do? Anybody in here? Okay, amen, a couple of y'all. Okay, but for the rest of us, no, we don't. We don't. The Lord says, this is what I want you to do. This is what I'm asking you to do. And I'm like, okay, Lord, so how am I going to get that? How are we going to do this? And with that in mind, we're going to pick up in verse 8. So I wanted to put you inside the text. Verse 8. Am I able to, if I get on the floor, because this stage is rocking with me today. If I get on the floor, is that going to mess up online? No? Okay. I'm going to get on the floor. Please pause for station identification. I feel like I'm on solid ground. Y'all, like, I'm up here, and I'm talking, but I just don't want to go through the floor in the middle of the message, and I'm just rocking back and forth. And I just wasn't sure of myself, y'all. I just had a lot of questions. Now I can preach, because I'm like, Lord, if I read this scripture, and there's, all right, anyway, all right. Just had to keep it 100. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 8, it says, then another message came to me, and that's Zechariah speaking, the prophet, from the Lord. He said, Zerubbabel, boy, I wonder what his elementary school life was like. Zerubbabel is the one who laid the foundation of this temple, and he will complete it. Then you will know what the Lord of heaven's armies has sent me. Do not despise these small beginnings. Somebody say and type in, do not despite small beginnings. Did I say that right? Okay. Do not despise small beginnings. What did I, despite? I didn't say it right. How come you said, yes, I said it right? I didn't say it right. I knew, I felt in my spirit, I didn't say that right, because they were like, I think it's a, I did, and see, but y'all get to rewind that online. That ain't right. All right. Someone say and type, oh, I can't wait to see the chat on the despite. Someone say or type in, do not despise small beginnings. It says, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. Heavenly Father, in these moments that we have to share your word, help it to come alive. Help us to set the tone for this series where you're asking us this year to focus, where you're calling us to do more, but you're asking us to be intentional about it with less. And so, Father, as we begin this series and this introduction, help us to see your word and hear your voices. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone says amen. The title of part one of our focus series is The Blessing of Small Beginnings. The Blessing of Small Beginnings. And I don't know about you, but I've been in places where I hope to start out big. I hope to start my business with a bank account that is never ending. I hope to start a social media page, and I got to turn off the notifications because they're just going off so much because that social media page is so hot. The brand is on fire. That's what I see in my head whenever I hear the Lord asking me to do something. But often when we pray a prayer, the answer is in the form of the materials it takes to actually build something. So when you think that God is not answering your prayers, it's often because you're not looking in the area that he sent the answer to. We want to pray to God about our request, but then we want to get on him about how the outcome needs to look. And so whenever God answers a prayer request, he always answers the prayer request in seed form. So when you pray for whatever you've been praying for, God has given you the seed to steward to begin to see the fruit of your prayer. So when you have a seed, there's a blessing in that seed. There's a blessing in that small beginning. Do not despise small beginnings. Well, it says in Zechariah 4:10, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. It says to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. And I wish I brought my leveler. I don't own a leveler. Why am I flexing? My wife's dad. I wish I brought my wife's dad's leveler here to show you all what a plumb line is. A plumb line is simply a leveler. It's what you use to make sure things are straight. Things aren't crooked. Things are level. And what it shows as Zerubbabel, who was the one who was chosen to do what God had been calling the people of Israel to do, and to do it in the face of adversity and impossibility. So I'm speaking to any person in here who feels like you're building against the grain. It excited the Lord to see Zerubbabel take the first step forward. Often we're paralyzed because we can't figure out the entire plan, so we just say, I'm not going to do anything. And so until we get the entire plan, we stay in disobedience, calling that I'm just waiting on God to tell me what to do next. But what he's asking us is take that first step. But when you take the first step, he's not expecting you now to go full speed ahead without any regard to making sure that all the areas, which I'll share with you at the end of this message, of your life are leveled. So often we go full in into a relationship. We go full in into a new business endeavor. We go full in to a new job. But without the plumb line or the leveler, we'll get out of balance because God is calling us to build and be whole. And it's natural. There's a natural excitement for something new. But at the same time, we have to count the cost ahead of time before we go 100 miles an hour in the wrong direction. This is the lessons of leadership, that although you have it to do today, without getting wisdom on what's going to happen tomorrow, you'll sell yourself short. Oh, let me talk real quick to some leaders, some business owners. When you're in the land of surplus, you need to maintain the disciplines that you had before there was surplus. Because what will happen is God will give you the answer to the very things you're praying, but because of a lack of management, you will then waste the abundance he's already given you, thinking that you're in lack. Whether that's your resources, or here's the bigger one, your time. One of the best things that you can do before you ever think about getting more finances is becoming a better steward of your current time that you have. When you learn how to steward your time now, it will give you more of an ability to receive great opportunities for greater finances later. But if you have opportunities for greater finances now without stewarding your time, you will squander the opportunity because you're being pulled in so many different directions. You need to focus to be able to do more with less. One of the first things the Lord is going to ask us to do, though, as we're beginning to build, as we're beginning to focus, is there's a skill that he wants you to develop. And I want you all to receive this skill from your heart. And that skill is, through your prayer time, the Lord will teach you to hear before you see. Go with me to 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. This is a supernatural skill of hearing before you see. So many times We want to see the outcome before we take that first step. So many times we want to know everything before we move. And I can tell you all, just leading our church in the short time that we've led here at the Outlet, there have been moves that the Lord has asked us to take long before I understood why we were taking those moves. But had I put my feet in the ground and done nothing, we would have missed supernatural opportunities for this ministry. They would not have existed. Going back to the King Middle School, that was the first place that we met. I remember the speed that we had that was associated with getting this church started. Quite honestly, it takes anywhere from 6 months to a year if you're starting in that moment to get a church going. Our church opened in 6 weeks, and it opened from a place of whatever was in our bank account. We made a decision that only thing we're going to commit to is anything that we can pay out of our own checking and savings account. We're not going to make any decisions for a church that hasn't existed yet. And so with that thinking, the Lord opened up an opportunity for us at King Middle School. Well, being at King Middle School, that took all of one day, and we had a facility at King Middle School. In my mind, I wondered, how in the world with this, it was a nice facility. It was huge. It was a lot. Lord, what happens if people don't show up? I don't even have a name. I don't have nothing. I just know, Lord, you told us to start this church, and we're going to start it. Well, what we found out 6 months after we had been having services in King, that there was another church that was larger, that had more resources than we did, that hired a consulting firm to see what is the best location for you to have a church in the city of Atlanta for the price. And that consulting firm reported back to this major ministry that the best location, because of parking, because of facilities, because of ease of access, the best place to have a church was in King Middle School. And that church, if I would have drugged my feet, would have been occupying and having service in that building. Fast forward 4 years later, that church no longer exists. So I didn't know. I just said, okay, we'll do it. Absolutely. And the Lord brought that opportunity. And so we fast forward to now we're coming toward last summer. And last summer, I sensed in my heart that we needed to change. We needed to make a change. I just felt. So what happens is, in your heart, it's like something's just not right. You can't explain it, because I've got a great relationship with King, still have a great relationship with King Middle School to this day. Financially, it was working out for us. It was no concerns whatsoever. We still had room to grow into it. But in my heart, it's like, Vince, you got to make a change. Vince, you got to make a change. Vince, you got to make a change. And so I'll never forget that Tuesday night at the end of June. We were not too far from here, and the Lord dropped the name of this building into my spirit. This building used to be in Midtown. And so I questioned the Lord, because he said, I want you to look up this facility. And I said, but Lord, they're in Midtown. And one thing about the Lord is that when he wants you to do something, he is not going to alter the instruction. He's going to say, I want you to look this up. And so I looked it up, and the address pinged less than a block away from where my wife and I were at the moment. And I said, come on over here. So we drove, came up to this parking lot, and sat here in that parking lot. And I looked at this facility, and in my heart, I heard, this is it. My head said, how? How are we going to do that? We haven't had church in a year and a half. Are people going to come to church? This is it. Move forward. And whenever you move forward, everything that was needed was in place. And so King Middle School took us a day to get. This facility took us a day to get. You have to learn to hear before you see. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 1. It says, later on in the third year of the drought. So 3 years of a drought. 3 years where what they need, they don't have. The Lord said to Elijah, go and present yourself to King Ahab. Tell him that I will soon send rain. So it had not rained for 3 years. The situation was dire. The basic necessities were in need. And the person who was listening to God had a word for the culture. See, when you learn to hear before you see, you are going to speak into the culture rather than waiting for the culture to speak into you. And what happens is when you hear from God and then it's substantiated, because everybody likes to use the, well, you know, the Lord said, the Lord told me, you know, I just feel like God is leading. Let me tell you something. If he did, it works. There is no change. You know, well, maybe God, he, you know, so God, he changed, he, I know he said this, but I think right now he's, no, listen, when God gives you a plan, it works. At the beginning of the shutdown originally, the Lord gave us a three-phase plan to reopen. At not one time in that three-phase plan did I have to come back and amend the plan. In fact, he sped up the timeline by 1 month. So when you hear from God and you know it's him, you just move forward and do what you need to do until the plan comes into full manifestation. And so now we fast forward to, and these are conversations that, because me and God, we got to talk, man. Like, I just can't, you know, I got to be able to talk to him straight up. And I pray y'all do the same thing. And so I'm like, hey, man, listen. So you had us leave King Middle School. You had us get this facility. The prices of the two are completely different. Did we make the right decision? Fast forward to Christmas break. 2 weeks ago when we said, hey, everybody, let's just take the 26th off. Who would have known 2 weeks ago that there was going to be an outbreak unlike anything we had seen, or a surge like anything we had seen in the last 2 years? No one knew that. We thought we were on the up and up. We thought it was over. But had I not listened to the Lord about making the switch, we would not have been able to continue ministry the way we've been doing it. Only reason we kept in person is because we have the option for outside. So that way we can serve every single person, regardless of preference, so that everyone in our community can feel safe. That's the goal. Honestly, it got to the point here at the outlet where if you ain't come to the outlet online or in person, you just ain't want to come. Can't use COVID. And that's the wisdom of God. Drop down to verse 40. Is anybody getting anything out of this today? I'm just sharing from the heart. So we need to learn to hear before we see. Verse 41, it says, then Elijah said to Ahab, so we fast forward after a mighty display of God's power through Elijah, that region had begun to see. So now Elijah is talking to the king. He says, go get something to eat and drink, for I hear a mighty rainstorm coming. Did he see the rain? Did he see the rain yet? No. But he said he heard the rain. Verse 42, so Ahab went to eat and drink. But Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel and bowed low to the ground and prayed with his face between his knees. What this means is a place of sincere, earnest prayer, sincere, earnest supplication. It means that his prayer wasn't a check mark on the list of did I pray today, but God, I'm really seeking your face concerning this because you've got me out here on the line. Listen, you're not in faith until you're out on the line. And if God does not come through, then you're through. And so Elijah, his word, his credibility as a prophet is out here, and he's earnestly seeking the face of God. And every time he earnestly seeks the face of God, he goes back and hears in his spirit what God is saying. When adversity comes, when trials come, when time passes, You can be tempted to let go of what you've prayed about. You can be tempted to let go of what God has said concerning you. When a year goes by, when 2 years goes by, when 3 years goes by, when 15 years goes by, you can begin to start letting go of what God has said concerning you. But what we see Elijah did is every time he felt like letting go of what God said, he went back to an earnest state of prayer. And that's the purpose of this season in 31 days. What have you let go of that God has said concerning your life? It's time to go back to prayer so you can keep hearing it before you see it. Verse 43, then he said to a servant, go look out toward the sea. Then the servant went and looked and returned to Elijah and said, I don't see anything. 7 times Elijah told him to go and look. Finally, the 7th time his servant told him, I saw a little cloud about the size of a man's hand rising from the sea. Then Elijah shouted, hurry to Ahab and tell him, climb into your chariot and go back home. If you don't hurry, the rain will stop you. And as soon as the sky was black with clouds. A heavy wind brought a terrific rainstorm. Ahab left quickly for Jezreel. Then the Lord gave special strength to Elijah and tucked his cloak into his belt and ran ahead of Ahab's chariot all the way to the entrance of Jezreel. So when Elijah said, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain, before he saw actual rain, it actually bears out in a science called infrasound. So, you know, infrared, infrasound, meaning there is a pitch in our earth that is loud, but it's lower than the frequency our natural ears pick up. I was watching Welcome to Earth with Will Smith on National Geographic, and he was with a gentleman by the name, I want to get his name right, of Jeffrey Johnson, who is an individual who studies volcanoes. He's a volcanologist. Volcanologist? Volcanologist. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Listen, I'm trying to expand this vocabulary. As a volcanologist, he also is blind. Boy, I tell you, that's faith. But when Will Smith was talking to Jeffrey, he said, how in the world can you be a volcanologist and be blind? He said, because volcanoes using infrasound technology, you'll be able to hear their movements and predict what's about to happen without using your eyes. He said, sometimes, because Jeffrey lost his sight in high school. And Jeffrey said, sometimes because you have eyesight, you begin to doubt what you hear. Don't let what you're looking at change what God has said about you. And be able to hear before you see. We see this also in James 5, 16 through 18. Write that down, where it talks about the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous person makes tremendous power available. But when we are connected in a community where we pray for one another, where we're praying earnestly, that's when we can hear those things. Go with me to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, and we'll bring this on home today. Luke chapter 5. So don't despise small beginnings. I want you all to cultivate the skill of hearing before you see. But I believe that you've got one more in you. What's that? I believe that you can believe God big one more time. Disappointment. You were really believing, and it didn't happen the way you saw. You could be tempted to say, you know what, this doesn't work. I give up. But Luke chapter 5 and verse 1. And this is Jesus. He's teaching, and it says, on one day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed 2 empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them, and they were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. And he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. And when he finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out where it's deeper. Now go out where it's deeper. Now go out where it's deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish." Simon responded like we respond when you faced disappointment and you see the Lord is asking you to go right back in the face of that disappointment instead of running from that disappointment. Simon said, "Master, we worked hard all last night and we didn't catch anything. And I can guarantee," and it doesn't say in the scripture, but I can guarantee if we put ourselves in his mind, "I haven't had any success in this area, and you're asking me to go deeper into the area that I've had the greatest level of disappointment?" Jesus is looking at Simon saying, "You've got one more in you. I came today to say, you've got one more in you. You've got one more in you." And as I'm saying that, I'm sensing your heart began to look at things that you had tucked away and that you had put away and that you said, "I'm not touching, I'm not talking about, I'm not dealing with this. That was in the past, that is no more." You've got one more in you. But this time, God is asking you to go even deeper. Go even more all in. Wait, you mean to tell me in the face of disappointment, God is asking me to go all in? And so in verse 5, it says, "But if you say so, I'll let down the nets again." And this time, their nets were so full of fish that they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish that they were on the verge of sinking. Hear me by the Spirit of God. You going back again, even deeper, is not just for you. This is not just for you. And that is the fallacy of the Americanized gospel, is that we have made it about us and not about who am I reaching when I push against what I'm afraid of and get past the voices in my head that says, nobody wants this. Nobody's going to listen. Nobody's going to come. Nobody's going to support. And I just stand and say, "Nevertheless, Lord, at your word, you've got one more in you." So here are the six areas I believe that this year the Lord is asking you to go a little deeper in. And just like Simon, you may have had some disappointment in these areas. But nevertheless, you're going to let down your nets again. So here are the six areas. The first area is your thoughts, feelings, your free will or choices, your physical body, your boundaries with yourself and others. Here's an important one, your soul care. Remember in the beginning when I said that Zerubbabel had the plumb line, the leveler. So imagine a life where you are balanced in every one of these areas. Here's the beauty of community. Each of us are excellent in at least one of these categories, if not more, each of us. On that screen right now, both in here as well as online, if there is one area that you're looking at on that screen that you say, "You know what, I do well in one of those areas," can you lift your hands or could you say, "I see myself in the chats"? Can you lift your hand? Is there at least one of the areas that you say, "I do well in at least one"? Yeah. And if we were to probe deeper, that one area you do well in is different than someone else's. Now, on the flip, up on that screen, is there one area that you say that you could say needs a little work? Good 4 or 5 of them, you know. So here is the purpose of community. All right, for those who saw our announcement about why we're doing ministry the way we're doing, I'm going to recap the reason. Number one, we've got to be safe in this pandemic. But number two, there is a loneliness epidemic that we're also facing, and it requires us to be level in our approach so that we don't go so far on the side that we want to keep people safe, that we keep people alone, to then go on the other side where we don't want people to be alone, so we don't keep people safe. If we can use wisdom to walk in the middle of this road and be level, then we can help each other come up in these 6 areas so that we can be a balanced and healthy community. But it starts with just one decision. Don't despise the small beginnings. So here's a call to action. On yesterday, we began our 31 days of prayer. And we want to make this simple, and we want to be your guides during this 31 days of prayer. So who has ever fasted at a church outside of the outlet before? In the comment, let me know if you ever fasted. All right. And when you think of fasting outside of the outlet, let's just be honest. Is there a sense of joy that just overwhelms your heart and your life? No. In fact, you're already thinking about, on what day am I going to drop this one? Listen, we believe here that we're called to empower, equip, develop, and deploy you to living out your creative potential. And this month allows us to walk with you and create habits that will help you to live beyond the month of January. And so we're going to start the fasting portion of our 31 days of prayer on next Monday. Someone say and type in next Monday. Next Monday. That means you have another 8 days to simply get in rhythm. Simply get in a routine. Figure out what works for you during this season. What we have this year are daily devotional videos where my wife and I are coming on every day to encourage your heart. We just want to encourage you and let you know that, listen, the fact that you're putting one foot in front of the other and you're going for it, that is good enough. The second thing is we have daily scriptures that we're going to ask that you read. But here's the most important thing about the 31 days of prayer. I'm asking you all to set 3 times a day, at least 15 minutes aside, where it's just you and God. 3 times a day, morning, midday, and before you go to bed. I want you to set at least 15 minutes aside, undistracted. Put the little focus feature on your phone and be intentional with it. We also want you to sit in silence for 5 minutes a day. That doesn't sound like a lot, does it? That's because y'all ain't sat in silence. Some of you have. But the majority of us, there's always something playing. There's always white noise. There's always a television. There's always a screen that's on. There's something. But 5 minutes of just silence. And keep your journal with you. Because there are things that God is constantly speaking, but our environments are so loud that we don't hear. And then the final thing is just attend virtual prayer gatherings. So here's the hook for every person, regardless of what season you're in as it relates to this pandemic. You have to be intentional about places you show up for. For real. You've got to be intentional. You actually have to put them in your calendar. You have to put a reminder in. You can't just say, you know, I was planning on. Did you put it down? No, you weren't planning. You were hoping. But if you're going to accomplish something, you need to put it in your phone and schedule things that are important to you, because you schedule things that are important to you. Never forget, during the pandemic on Sunday morning, we used to pre-record these so I could tape the service on Thursday, and then I go golfing at like 7 a.m. in the morning. I miss them days. But I used to go golfing at 7 a.m. I would be the second, because there would be somebody who beat me to the first tee time. I would be the second tee time to go out. And the parking lot was filled with guys who were going to be teeing off after me. I always heard growing up that it's hard for men to go to church. It taught me something about values. People do what they value. So either you give them something that's of value, and then we respond by valuing it back. So listen, I'm going to get very pastoral, and then we're going to pray and all that kind of stuff. I've been nice for 2 years. I've been real nice, real understanding. But let me just level with you real quick. Anybody who's worked their weight in salt as a pastor is not going to be satisfied with you living an unorganized life that has no intentions to it. So we had 2020 that caught us all by surprise. We had 2021 that had a few surprises in there too. At some point, we're going to have to adjust to the level of difficulty that's in the current world today without excuse. Either we make changes, or we just make excuses about not making changes. Let's make some changes, y'all. Let's be intentional. For real. Let's be for real. Amen. 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 Let's be accountable. But y'all don't be giving me the, but you made it to Cozumel on time. We made it to that football game on time. This has higher value than any form of entertainment in the world. In fact, you'll enjoy your entertainment more when you have moments like these, whether it's in a gathering like this or with a trusted small circle of friends, that we're going to talk about how are you and check in those six areas and put a plan together to keep coming up and keep each other accountable. All right. Sorry, I had to be a little pastoral, but I gave y'all 2 years. And it is what it is. Y'all ready to get after it? Y'all ready to get after it? All right, come on, stand to your feet. Come on, stand to your feet. I'm sorry. Group hug. Group hug. You can come on. Group hug. Group hug. You all have received your communion elements. We're going to receive Holy Communion today. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 says, "He who has begun a good work in you shall complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." A couple verses higher in Zechariah 4 and 6. The Lord spoke through the prophet Zechariah and said, "It's not by power, and it's not by your might, but it's going to be by my spirit." So in essence, I'm inviting you to surrender your life into the hands of God and trust in His power to bring to pass what He has called you to do. 1 Thessalonians 5, and I believe 24 says, "Faithful is He who has called you, who will also do it." And as we receive Holy Communion today, it's evidence that He finished the work. And it's our time to give Him permission to finish the work in us. So, Father, as we received Holy Communion today, we receive Your body that was broken for us, that was given so that we could experience Your new covenant. Help us in the moments and the times where we cannot help ourselves. You said in 2 Corinthians 12, when we're weak, You're going to be strong. God, we need Your strength. You may partake.